language, thou art too narrow and too weak to ease us now. Great sorrow cannot speak, writes the 17th century poet and Dean of St. Paul's London, John Donne. Donne, who buried 5 of his 12 children and whose wife Anne died shortly after giving birth to the 12th at age 33, knew something about grief and the failure of language, its narrowness, its weakness. Language, while packed with the possibility of comfort in distress, can often take us only so far, to the margin where grief and consolation meet, but not quite there. My best friend's husband just died. What should I say to him? My daughter just lost her job. What should I say to her? Some of you who have experienced a lot of life know that the right words never come. That the hug, the kiss, the sitting with another in pregnant silence, of getting that box of fried chicken or chest of stew after she died, or that bouquet of flowers from a friend across the country after the separation, or that card or song or poem after a hard move, can do what words can't. Language, thou art too narrow. This entire week is rich in the nonverbal. This week alone, you have processed with palms and hearty hosannas, washed the feet of your neighbor, kept vigil with our Lord overnight in the Garden of Gethsemane, adored him in the Blessed Sacrament, heard anew of his saving passion in poetry and song, and in just a moment, you'll come forward to venerate his cross, waiting with Mary, his mother, and John, the beloved disciple, our patron. We kiss crosses and receive the sacrament and wash one another's feet and wave palms because language, thou art too narrow. A few years ago, on a walk through the western edge of Capitol Hill, I was listening to The Slowdown, a daily poetry podcast sponsored by the Poetry Foundation. This is not an advertisement. The poem recited that day stopped me in my tracks. It was July 22nd, 2022, to be exact, at the corner of 9th and Sherman. The episode opened with a reflection by the host, Ada Limon, who is now the 24th Poet Laureate of the United States, and she reflected on a recent visitation by a bird at her friend's home. She heard 2 disturbances at the door, opened the door, and the bird tried flying directly into her face. Ada closed the door before this could happen, though. This reflection tees up her reading of Divorce, a poem by Jose Alcantara, published in 2021. Quote, he has flown headfirst against the glass and now lies stunned on the stone patio. Nothing moving but his quick beating heart. So you go to him, pick up his delicate body and hold him in the cupped palms of your hands. You have always known he was beautiful, but it's only now, in his stillness, in his vulnerability, that you see the miracle of his being, how so much life fits in so small a space. And so you wait, keeping him warm against the unseasonable cold, trusting that when the time is right, when he has recovered both his strength and his sense of up and down, he will gather himself, flutter once or twice, and then rise, a streak of dazzling color against a slowly lifting sky. End quote. I have ruminated on this poem for nearly 2 years and am struck again by the delicate body, stillness, and vulnerability of Alcantara's bird. A body that draws me into itself, into the miracle of its being, into my own vulnerability and mortality, into the vulnerability and mortality of those I love, and the vulnerability and mortality of a world at war with itself. This echoes the writer of Hebrews, who is fixated on our Lord's body. We have confidence, this writer says, to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God. Over 2 millennia, Christians have not shirked from metaphor and music and poetry when contemplating the crucifixion. Notice the writer's use of the word curtain, layered by the parenthetical flesh. Jesus' death on the cross, his body mangled and wearied by the brute force of Roman imperial power, is too stunning, too expansive to relegate to one phrase, one image, one word. Perhaps, and this is just a perhaps, this is a way forward for us in a time of language failure, of imagination failure. The tendency to over-explain, over-analyze, overstand, if you will, is a distraction from the bird in your cupped hands, from the tragedy in plain sight, from the crucifixions happening on our doorsteps and a world away. Jesus' crucifixion, the offering of his body on an altar in the shape of the hardwood of the cross, makes suffering in Ukraine, Sudan, Gaza, places that seem far off, alive in our imaginations and prayers. For where the one suffers, the many suffer. And where the many suffer, the one suffers. This vision of Christ's mangled, lifeless body brings God and by extension every Christian into solidarity with people and communities who live under the strongholds of violence and oppression. It is this vision which we hold at this altar, not only when we receive our Lord in bread and wine at the conclusion of today's liturgy, but as we engage as the people of God in the priestly work of prayer bestowed upon us in the waters of baptism. In just a moment, we will kneel, stand, kneel, stand, kneel, stand, making intercession with Jesus for the whole world, And when language fails or feels overwhelming, we will be silent. And in that silence, this Friday will become good.